Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, we had such a heavy, hard-hitting 6 o'clock hour of the program. Why don't we start off the 7 o'clock hour on a little bit of a lighter note. First off, David Noble, great to have you here in the house. As always, every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we'll have some woke updates of the week and much more. But great to see you, my friend.
Great to be here.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw my update. I got this on our Montana Talks website as well. But remember this big news story about how liberal Senator John Tester has spent $1.2 million at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. So you've probably heard me say this. My favorite John Tester fancy restaurant in Washington, D.C. is the Bistro Cacao. The Bistro Cacao. Cacao. We have been making fun of the Bistro Cacao for what, 6 months now, 7 months? I can't remember when that report first came out. Right?
So when the first report came out, it showed Bistro Cacao. That wasn't something that like, hey, we got this report about 1.2 million, and you just like were guessing that it was at Bistro Cacao, and then
it was in the report. The Bistro B is another one. I'm assuming it's B. I don't speak French. Is it Bistro Bis? Is it Bis or B or? I don't know. It's some expensive stuff, though. Like, I mean, some of the appetizers are like $20 just for the appetizers and the dessert. Ooh, fancy desserts.
But you know that you're pronouncing Bistro Cacao. You got that one correct?
I'm assuming it's cacao. Yeah, because I guess that's a French cuisine place, too. Or is it cacao or
is
cocoa? Is it cocoa? I don't know. But so yesterday, the Daily Caller reports that they obtained this photograph. It looked like John Tester was, you know, drinking away his worries, slamming vodka cranberries at the Bistro Cacao in Washington, D.C. So CNN's reporting that behind closed doors, John Tester is basically saying Joe Biden can't beat Donald Trump. It's over. And then he's there seen at the Bistro Cacao slamming vodkas, sitting there by himself. You know, drinking away his sorrows.
Vodka crayons, you know, pink drinks in a Prius.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
although to be fair, you know, vodka crayons are fancy. Back in my drinking days, I used to love a vodka crayon.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I don't care if somebody drives a Prius. You know, it's not going to haul my camper, so
what if the person that drives the Prius wants to force you to also have to drive an EV or a Prius?
Yeah, and again, I don't care if you drink pink drinks. You know, good for you. Great, especially it's summertime. Go for it, right? Sometimes I'll do a club soda with a splash of cran just because it's a nice fresh drink, right? If I'm at the High Horse Saloon or something like that. So it's not but the contrast here is that, you know, John Tester never takes tough questions from the press. He does this phony Carhartt tractor shtick when he's hardly ever here in Montana, but the rest of the time he's drinking pink drinks and driving a Prius. And it's this phoniness about him. It's the phoniness of the Montana media that pushes this fake narrative.
And I spent most of the July 3rd program demanding that John Tester tell the people of Montana, does he still support Trump? He was silent during the most critical moment of the Biden presidency. He was silent as a coward.
Yeah, he's a straight-up coward. No, and thanks again for filling in on the show. Our listeners just love it anytime you're in on the program. Okay, back after this.
Military matters.
NATO is now racing to deepen its relations with Indo-Pacific partners for fear of a rising China. Technically, Japan, South Korea, New Zealand, and Australia are not in the NATO military alliance, but they were invited to the 75th anniversary summit this week in Washington, D.C., as essential partners to the European alliance as Russia and China forge closer ties. Here's the NSC's John Kirby speaking with Brett Baer.
They know that NATO matters, and they're watching really closely what's happening in Ukraine because of what might happen in their own neighborhood.
NATO is expected to call China a decisive enabler of Russia's war against Ukraine in a statement at the close of the summit for providing Russia with the technology it needs to escalate attacks. Chinese supercomputing chips and military technology are being transferred to help the Russian military. For a long time, Europe did not see China as a threat and did not feel that NATO had a role to play in the Pacific. That appears to be shifting. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We had lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-90s in Bozeman, around 102 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies. Low temperatures in the low to mid-60s. And the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine. Back in the mid-90s in Bozeman, with high temperatures of around 100 expected in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombe.
So apparently tourists are running across sheepdogs here in the Rocky Mountain West. You heard me right, sheepdogs out in the wild guarding the sheep. But the tourists, much like Yellowstone National Park tourists throwing bison calves in the back of rental cars, they think these dogs need to be rescued. Anyway, great piece at Range Magazine. I've got a story at MontanaTalks.com right now. Don't rescue our Montana ranch dogs. They're doing just fine. MontanaTalks.com for that.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, so David, we talked about the big boy getting busted slamming vodkas at the bistro. Cacow! This is the Daily Caller headline. Biden got you down? Embattled Democrat senator spotted banging vodka crayon after telling Democrats Biden can't win. That's the story on our Montana Talks website as well. But let's talk about another big boy here. I've been hearing this all morning, but I want to go find the – apparently they've been actually saying these words all over the place. Joe Biden's going to do a press conference. They're actually calling it a big boy press conference?
That came from Karine Jean-Pierre and John Kirby, the top two spokespeople for the White House. They've been getting roasted nonstop because they've been promising that President Joe Biden is going to give a big boy press conference.
Such a big boy.
As part of the NATO summit, India Today, a newspaper out of India, asked the question, potty training next?
Golly.
Well, why would they say – so what that means,
yeah,
though, is
why
that,
would you call it a big boy press conference, especially after Joe Biden was talking to him like a three-year-old after the debate?
Right. Hey, oh, Joe, you did such a good job. You answered all the questions. Here's a little pat on the head, Joe. It was just bizarre. But no, what this basically means is that all of the other press conferences that Joe Biden has given over the past couple of years, not many of them, but those have all been little boy press conferences.
For some reason, I'm laughing for parents who've had to go through the potty training thing with their kids. You know, like maybe they need to bring Elmo to the White House. So, you know, I want to potty with you. You want to potty with me. And it's like, you know, let's bring Elmo to talk about the big boy press conference, potty training.
Or do they mean by big boy press conference that this will be the first press conference where the questions haven't been pre-screened and Joe Biden doesn't have the questions and the answers next to the reporters' names and their pictures on a card in front of them? Are they actually going to have like real questions?
Take
the
training wheels off. Yeah, he's got all these training wheels on, like you say, no cards, pictures, pre-scripted questions. Take the training wheels off if
right.
It's a big boy press conference. That's
and of course, the fat cat in D.C., the flip-flop, he's been flip-flopping on Joe Biden. He has now flip-flopped. The flip-flop flat top has flip-flopped because a couple of months ago he was saying Joe Biden's 100% with it, that he this is all overblown. And now, of course, after the moment of import has passed, after the critical timing, the critical moment has passed where John Tester could have been a leader, now it's 2 weeks later and John Tester is now joining the growing chorus of Democrat senators and representatives. And it's like, okay.
The wishy-washy caucus.
Thanks, Tester, for your leadership for 2 weeks later to come out and say that Joe Biden needs to prove that he can't. He's not. And then it was so funny. Nancy Pelosi goes on the Sunday shows. Of course, Joe Biden has come out and said, I've thought about this. I've decided I am staying in the race. I am not going anywhere. I'm not resigning. I'm the president of the United States. I'm the nominee for president for the Democrat Party. I am not going anywhere. And then Nancy Pelosi the next day, you know, Joe Biden really needs to think about a decision. He needs to make a decision. He needs to really think about it. I'm like, what planet are you on? He just
announced his decision. Yeah. Yeah. John Tester reminds me, George Clooney here, same type of phony garbage. Like George, these Hollywood celebrities were lying to the American people. The Hollywood celebrities did this big fundraiser with Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And we saw a video of Barack Obama basically walking Joe Biden off the stage like he was, you know, the elderly grandmother at the Sunday baptism, right? And it was just like sad to watch. But all these people in Hollywood, oh no, Joe is great. He was doing awesome. And then the debate happened, and now this.
George Clooney, a Biden fundraiser host, watched as Barack Obama nudged President Biden offstage in L.A. and now wants a different Democrat on the top of the ticket, writing, "It's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe big effing deal Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate." Some high-profile former Obama administration staffers agree. Clooney sees a better crop of candidates in Wes Moore, Kamala Harris, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, Andy Beshear, and J.B. Pritzker.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, couldn't George Clooney didn't have the guts to say this 3 weeks ago, though. But now he's Mr. Tough Guy.
That's what's so amazing about that is like he just admitted that he knew that Joe Biden was not fit to be president a month ago. He had this big fundraiser. And not only did he not say anything, but he still continued to actively fundraise for this man and continued to actively support him for president, knowing that he was not fit to be president. He's not
and
confident.
That's where he's like John Tester. John Tester exactly. Lied. He lied.
Because John Tester knew, just like we knew, just like all the listeners knew, just like everybody knew that Joe Biden was not with it when John Tester, and he lied. And all of these people are coming out and admitting it. They're all now admitting it. Oh, yeah, no, we knew. We knew John Tester was not confident to be president a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. Now they're all coming out and admitting it. I don't know if they're not – are they not realizing that they're basically admitting that they're frauds and liars? Or do they think that we're just going to overlook the fact that they've now come out and admitted that they've known this for a long time? And not only did they know it, but then they accused me and you of being like crackpot conspiracy theorists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like what we're on to this morning, though, David. For the big boy press conference, I want the big boy to join the big guy. Both of them need to answer questions. Big boy fraud, phony John Tester, and the big guy who got a lot of money from China, Joe Biden. They both should be asking questions without the training
this
aids.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The news on Medicaid disenrollments, those who lost coverage when certifications were restarted last year, continues to be stunning in Montana and elsewhere. Nationally, more than 23 million people who received Medicaid benefits prior to last fall have been disenrolled, or about 25% of all beneficiaries. Only 56% were renewed, with the remaining in a gray area of review and processing. Montana stands out as a state with larger disenrollments than most. Our disenrollment rate of 55% is exceeded only by Texas. That fraction includes those still undergoing review. Only one-third of disenrolled Montana recipients were determined to be no longer eligible. The remaining two-thirds were due to procedural problems. It's yet another long echo of the COVID pandemic, restarting an administrative process that clearly has little forgiveness for things like changes of address or incomplete forms. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We had lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-90s in Bozeman, around 102 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies. Low temperatures in the low to mid-60s. And the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine. Back in the mid-90s in Bozeman, with high temperatures of around 100 expected in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
So apparently, tourists are running across sheepdogs here in the Rocky Mountain West. You heard me right. Sheepdogs out in the wild guarding the sheep. But the tourists, much like Yellowstone National Park tourists, throwing bison calves in the back of rental cars, they think these dogs need to be rescued. Anyway, great piece at Range Magazine. I've got a story at MontanaTalks.com right now. Don't rescue our Montana ranch dogs. They're doing just fine. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the Montana Stock Growers Association is in San Diego participating in the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting. For Stock Growers President John Grandy, creating policy for the future of Montana's livestock industry is essential.
Well, it was not new policies, but existing policies, but how we're going forth in enacting those and working on. You know, we've been working on better instrument grading for over 25 years now, but that's still something that's in process, and we're still working on that, getting that grading more objective, more consistent. That's an important thing. Another very important thing is just here recently, the CME came out with new expanded limits on both the live cattle and feeder cattle contracts. We have a lot of concern about those. Unfortunately, the CME folks have been very willing to listen. We're having productive conversations with them about trying to take a closer look at those, because those expanded limits, they lead to the possibility of huge daily moves in those contracts, which if you're using those as a hedger, obviously that opens you up to a lot bigger margin calls. We have a lot more people moving towards the LRP, and which is a good thing, and one of the things we're working on is improving that LRP contract. But the CME, to me, are actually shooting themselves a little in the foot. If there's more risk of higher margin calls on CME contracts, that's all the more reason for people to move to LRP, and there should be a place for both.
From San Diego, I'm Lane Nordlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, President Biden continues facing scrutiny amid calls to drop his reelection bid. Republican South Carolina Senator Tim Scott was on with Sean Hannity last night, says that Democrats are in panic mode right now. And if you see that photo of John Tester on our Montana Talks website, he's just like, man, he just looks like he's done.
Democrats are in absolute full panic mode, not because the President of the United States is unable to perform his duties as the commander-in-chief and the leader of the free world. They're in panic mode, Sean, because their poll numbers are dropping like a lead balloon.
That is such an important point, David. The Disney family in Libby, they sent me an email recently making that same point, that they made this point that he's hinting at here, which is like the Democrats aren't in panic mode because they're fearful for our country,
right,
and what it means with Joe Biden running our country right now. They're panicking over themselves and their own political party. They're concerned about their party and their grip on power. They're not concerned about the fact that we're on the brink of World War III and that, you know, foreign leaders are watching this and seeing this happen in real time. Why aren't they concerned about our country instead of their own political power?
You know, I listened to Glenn Beck's show after the day after the debate, or maybe 2 days after the debate. And one thing that really struck out that I thought was really unique from Glenn Beck was he was actually criticizing a lot of conservative commentators for turning this issue into a partisan political issue and using this as a political attack against Joe Biden, using this as a political attack against the Democrats, using this as a way to try to win the 2024 campaign. And Glenn Beck's take was, look, not everything is about politics. Not everything is about partisan politics. Like, this is an issue outside of partisan politics, outside of politics. This is an issue that's for the country. Doesn't matter what party Joe Biden is in or anything like, or if you're with his policies, like, this is. And I was like, wow, that's actually a unique take. And it's real similar to what you're talking about. And it's like, you know, the John Tester being upset and going and drowning his sorrows in vodka crayons and stuff, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, because exactly what Donald Trump was talking about with Kamala Harris being the insurance policy. This is, you know, it's so funny because, especially being a lawyer and getting to know some people higher up in politics, and then, of course, you know, dealing directly with CEOs of large companies on a sort of semi-regular basis, and representing big companies in defenses of cases, and you start to see sort of internal operations at the highest levels of the government and of business, and you think, wow, these people, they must be competent, they must be geniuses, they must have it together, they must be really good at organizing. They're not, you know. That's one thing you learn once you start dealing with the leaders in our country.
They should be good at building teams around them. Yeah.
Right. But so then when you see what the Democrats are doing right now, you might be tempted to think they must have a plan here. The Democrats must have a strategy. They must have an end goal in mind. They can't be just flailing around and destroying their candidate in front of our eyes. And the reality is actually, yeah, they could be doing it, and they are doing that. And they may have actually thought that Joe Biden would step aside. Of course, Joe Biden's not going to step aside. He's got a bunch of ongoing criminal deals going right now. Hunter Biden is now the main advisor. He's actually the acting chief of staff. I don't know if you saw
really
that.
Is, yeah.
Where they've actually now, Democrats have now referred to Hunter Biden as the acting chief of staff because he is now the gatekeeper to the president, and he's making these calls. And of course, Jill Biden is really the decision maker. So it's Hunter Biden pressuring Jill Biden to pressure Joe Biden to stay in the race so that they can continue to cover up their crimes. And that's what's really
it's their own pride. They don't want to leave the White House, and she doesn't want to leave the White House. She loves being first lady. Hunter, I mean, the grift continues. I mean, you think about the payoff Hunter and Jill are going to demand if they ever allow a move to happen. But no, it's just sad for our country, and it just, especially given all the concerns out there right now, the terrorists that have snuck into this country, it's challenging times for our country. And you know, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, they turned things around after 2016 very quickly. And they proved that we can turn things around, but it's going to be an even bigger turnaround after this train wreck of Joe Biden and John Tester over the last 3+ years.
So if you were a Democrat, if you were a Bolshevik, and you could sort of have whatever happen that you would want to happen. I mean, if you're a Democrat, what's the best case scenario? Because some people say, oh, Joe Biden needs to resign and, you know, let's have this open convention. Some people say put in Kamala Harris. Some people say, no, let's just stick with Joe Biden. I mean, if you're a Democrat, like what would be your honest opinion about here's the best thing the Democrats can do to win in 2024?
I'm thinking of was this a Friends episode? It's not me. It's not you. It's me, or something like that. It's not Joe. It's you. It's not Joe Biden. It's John Tester. It's Chuck Schumer. It's Nancy Pelosi. It's Gavin Newsom. It's Gretchen Whitmer. Every single one of you are the reason our country is failing right now on multiple fronts. It's you and it's your policies. So you can replace Joe Biden all you want. The problem is you, all of you, right? I think that's just something that needs to be hammered home because, right. Like, no, it's like he can be as old or as youthful as he wants to, but your policies are failing.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Biden toasting European leaders.
NATO.
With the world hanging on every word of a full-fledged Biden news conference this evening for signs of cognitive issues, a trio of Biden campaign officials trying to quell Senate Democrats' disarray after the first Senator Peter Welch called on the president to step aside as the nominee, but not Senator John Fetterman telling Fox.
Joe Biden didn't have a great debate, but to me, I think that he already beat Trump, and I think this is our best opportunity to defeat Trump again.
But even possible Biden replacement, Governor Gretchen Whitmer says a cognitive test isn't a bad idea. Inflation dropped unexpectedly 0.1%, second month in a row. CPI shows inflation is 3%. America is listening to Fox News.
All right, let's see. David Noble, I definitely want to get your take. We haven't even done our woke updates of the week yet, but I also want to get your take on a couple of other big stories out of Helena, the held climate case before the Montana Supreme Court. We have these ballot initiatives these radical leftists are suing the Secretary of State over right now. Do you want to do a quick woke update, and then we'll get to those other big stories after the next break so we got a little more time to dive into them?
I've been preparing for the Secretary of State, Christy Jacobs, and one, simply because it's a legal issue that's been in the news a lot, and it's important.
Yeah.
It's important, and I was curious about it, and so I was looking up these statutes. Actually, Secretary of State. I don't know if folks know. I don't know if you've covered this really, but basically, they've gathered all those signatures for these ballot initiatives, these left-wing ballot initiatives, and now it's been. They're verifying the signatures, and the Secretary of State's office has rightfully pointed out that you actually have to be a qualified elector in Montana for your signature on these ballots to count. And so what I've recently sort of learned, and Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson has tweeted out a short little video quoting these statutes, but Montana statutes actually set in place a procedure that is supposed to be followed once a year where the government is supposed to check the change of address database. They're supposed to send out they can either check the change of address database or they send out a piece of mail to voters to figure out who's still a valid voter in Montana, even if they're still in the registration rolls, because you may register to vote and then you may move. And most people, when they move to go to a different state, they don't unregister to vote. And so there's this whole process that's set forth in Montana law about how to keep our registered voter rolls up to date and not including people that have moved. And so then they mail it, and if it gets returned from the mail, there's another step that needs to be taken. And if the government can't verify that somebody that's registered to vote is still here. And they haven't voted in a number of elections, and their name and address is now changed according to the national database, or you're mailing them stuff and it's getting returned as undeliverable, whatever it might be, they then become an inactive voter. They're still on the registration rolls, but they're inactive, which means they're not a qualified elector under the ballot initiative signature gathering statutes. And so Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson has rightfully looked at these statutes and said, hold on. You have to be a qualified elector to sign these petitions. A lot of the people that sign these petitions are not qualified electors. They're inactive voters because they've moved. Their mail has been returned. They haven't responded. And they haven't been voting. These are people that haven't been voting. And then they've either had their address changed or they haven't responded. And so the Secretary of State is doing what the Montana legislature has required her to do. The Secretary of State is required to only, authenticate qualified elector signatures. And of course now she's getting sued, and she's ended up in court again with these left-wing organizations that are going to try to force invalid signatures.
So the bottom line is the Democrats and these left-wing groups are suing to force the Secretary of State to break the law.
Correct.
To violate Montana's constitution. And they've got the media in their back pocket, and they believe they'll have these liberal justices and judges in their back pocket. So that's why they feel so
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah. So this is a very important story because it deals with two major topics. One is this rank choice voting, which is rank. It stinks. It's the left and some of the more moderate Republicans who are on the payroll for these initiatives are trying to push this across the finish line because they think it'll give them a better chance at getting more moderate Republicans elected or getting, Democrats straight up elected through this ranked choice voting. It'll completely change and confuse the process. So that's rank. The other thing that's rank here is this CI-128. And David did a great job explaining this right out the gates. Decline to sign. Don't even sign these petitions. It's deceptive language where they're trying to get abortion on demand all the way up to the due date. No limits abortion. And get it enshrined in our Montana Constitution. But they're using deceptive language to do so. Now, David, as you know, the Montana Family Foundation has been exposing those signature collection efforts. I mean, they got people on camera breaking the law, violating the law, collecting signatures. So that should be, those ones are thrown out, those ones. So just the malpractice that was uncovered by the Montana Family Foundation alone should prevent CI-128 from being on the ballot. But then on top of that, you have this whole qualified elector. Now, as I understand it, and of course you gave us great insight here, but the Montana Constitution says this: a petition may be signed only by a qualified elector of the state of Montana. And per Montana law, inactive voters are not qualified voters and cannot be counted toward a petition. So yet now you have these radical left-wing folks who are suing, and the Democrats who are suing to say, no, 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 Montana Secretary of State, we demand that you break the law. And look at the leftists on the Montana Supreme Court and these liberal judges have already forced the Secretary of State to do unprecedented things, like with that attempted veto override from over a year ago. It is something that had never been done in our state's history. It wasn't even done during the territorial days of Montana. But it just proves once again that these left-wing judges and these radical leftists on the Montana Supreme Court, they don't care about the law. They don't care about our Montana Constitution. They want to do what they want to do. And, you know, dang the law, dang the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at what the Montana Supreme Court did with that last big voter ID ballot harvesting case where they and same day voter registration, where the Montana Constitution, this is just mind blowing to once you realize, you know, what happened here. But the Montana Constitution is very clear that same day voter registration, election day voter registration, poll booth registration, whatever you want to call it, was very clearly up to the legislature. It's explicit in the Montana Constitution that this is at the discretion of the legislature. The transcript from the 1972 CON is clear that they wanted that to be up to the legislature. And then the Montana Supreme Court said, no, it's not up to the legislature. It's up to us, and you have to allow same-day voter registration, notwithstanding the fact that between 1972 and 2005, we didn't have same-day voter registration. Anyway, you know that this story also relates to is this big national push by Democrats like John Tester to allow illegal aliens to vote. And the Republican House in Washington, D.C. right now has recently just passed a bill to make it so you have to be not only that you have to be an American citizen to vote, but that you're required to prove your citizenship when you register to vote. And we've been talking about this issue. Places like Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch has won lawsuits over this issue in California, because you know what happens? You've got these national motor voter laws where you've got a checkbox on your driver's license application, right? When you go to get a driver's license, you're required by federal law to have a checkbox there to register to vote. And then all you have to do is hit a checkbox that says you're a U.S. citizen. And so what Judicial Watch was able to prove is in lots of states around the country, you go to the DMV, you go to the MVD, or you go to whatever the heck they're called in that state, and they say, oh yeah, no, yep, we register to vote. We register people to vote here, and when they get their driver's license, they just check this box to vote, and then yep, and then oh yeah, we give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Lots of states give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And so then they're getting registered to vote when they're getting those. And then you go to the California Secretary of State and say, hey, California Secretary of State, we've just been confirmed by the Motor Vehicle Division that they're registering people to vote, and they're doing nothing to check for citizenship. And then the California Secretary, oh yeah, we don't check that. Nope. If they check the box, then they're registered. And so it's undisputed. You have 100%, you've got illegal aliens that are registered to vote and voting in the United States of America. That's not disputed. It is happening. We know for a fact it's happened multiple times. That's why the Republican House in D.C. right now has just passed a bill saying, no, okay, we want people to have to show and prove that they're a citizen. You can't just check a box on your driver's license thing when you've got a bunch of states giving illegal aliens driver's licenses. And, of course, John Tester's against having only citizens vote. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's been all supportive. He's been riding with Biden on the open borders, illegals being counted in the census agenda and more. The headline I shared yesterday was from the Daily Wire. Biden formally opposes bill requiring that voters prove citizenship. Stephen Miller, the prominent border policy advisor to President Donald J. Trump, was on with Hannity last night.
This is really one of the most astounding days in the history of the U.S. House of Representatives. They called a simple question before the House. Should illegal aliens vote in our elections? That was the bill. The Republican bill was, you must prove you are a citizen to vote, period. virtually every House Democrat voted against the bill and said, we want illegal aliens to be able to vote just by checking a box. That's how it works. You get the form. It says, are you a citizen, yes or no? If you check yes, there is no validation, no verification, no identification or proof of citizenship that is required. This should be a pox on the entire Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has just declared they support illegal aliens voting, and every American, whether they're liberal, conservative, independent, wherever they fit in that matrix, they should kick the Democrats out of Washington for having the temerity to support illegal alien voting.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
I mean, spot on. And not only do they want illegal aliens voting in our elections, not only do they support illegal aliens voting in, we know for a fact illegal aliens have been voting in our. In fact, hey, wasn't even there even a story here directly out of Montana about some illegal aliens voting in, or maybe even
they
not
were,
even
there were non-citizens.
Voting.
Two non-citizens,
illegally voting.
Yeah, they were from the Philippines and they voted in an election in Dodson, Montana. And so, yeah.
So obviously there's not a procedure in place even in Montana. And of course, there is no, I guess maybe I haven't researched
this.
They
can check county to county, but
how are they going to check
citizenship?
They're
obviously not checking citizenship. Yeah.
Now, there might be a check on like your social security number when you register to vote in Montana. I'm not 100% on some of that. I do know 100% that other states are absolutely not doing anything really to check citizenship, which is why you've got, again, I just go back to the old Judicial Watch lawsuit in California where the MVD said, no, that's not our job. Secretary of State, no, that's not our job.
And you also shouldn't be getting $1 of taxpayer money if you're a non-citizen either in the form of health benefits or anything else, if you ask me. Let's go to Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. Rock, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Speaking of voting, I don't know if you heard Mark Levin last night, but he had a guy on there from Nevada that's running for Senate, and his name is Captain Sam Brown.
Yeah.
Served in the military.
Great guy.
He was badly wounded. If anybody, I'm gonna, send some dough. The guy's got a heck of a fight down there, against some woman that sounds like, her and Tester are out of the same mold. And, they're throwing in $40 million to fight against, this Captain Sam Brown, just like they're doing against Sheehy up here. So if anybody can help out, I can't afford to do much, but when I hear about a guy like this, I definitely try to help out a little bit.
Thanks for mentioning that, because the Democrats and their anti-veteran push, we're seeing it in Montana with the fake attacks on Tim Sheehy, and then you're seeing it in Nevada. Sam Brown, I don't know if you're familiar with him, David, his whole face was burned off, basically, and so just a remarkable American there. I want to get your take on the held climate case that was at the oral arguments were before the Montana Supreme Court yesterday. Rob Cheney actually did a good write-up for the Missoulian here. Maybe I can touch on a couple of the key takeaways on what their point was here. I like how they used the left's own arguments against them. But anyway, and then we've also got Clinton Bozeman on the phone line, so we'll try to sneak in a very quick phone call after the break as well, because we're very short on time after this one.
This episode is brought to you by Buffalo Trace Distillery. Powerful yet smooth. Contained but never tan. Proudly going their own way, but never going alone. This is the spirit inside Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Buffalo Trace is always perfectly untamed. Distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, Franklin County, Kentucky. 90 proof, 45% alcohol by volume. Learn more at BuffaloTraceDistillery.com. Please drink responsibly.
Fox News commentary.
As if our national security wasn't already in bad shape with President Joe, reports indicate his felon son Hunter might be playing gatekeeper. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer Podcast, featuring Common Ground, talking to lawmakers weekly from opposite sides of the political spectrum about the issues of the day and how Americans can find common ground in a politicized world.
That's just not happening on Capitol Hill. It takes leadership, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Along with all your Brett Baer favorites, like the campaign, the candidates, the all-star panel, and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, some Democrats are furious that Joe Biden won't drop out of the race for a second term, but the rest of us are concerned he's still serving in the current. If Joe Biden isn't cognitively sharp enough to run for re-election, he's not sharp enough to be president right now. But it gets worse. According to an Axios report, former crack addict and current convicted felon Hunter Biden is his father's de facto gatekeeper for longtime friends. Not only that, but Hunter has also reportedly been attending official White House meetings. Talk about a national security risk. Hunter, with his felony gun conviction and his foreign business dealing, shouldn't be anywhere near White House meetings. I didn't vote for Joe Biden, but no one voted for Hunter Biden or Jill Biden or whomever is running the show over there outside of Biden's waking hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. What a nightmare. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com. RX is not insurance.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know we only got a quick few minutes here. We'll try to get to all the callers on the phone lines if we can. But, David, real quick, Tester will not be elected. She's on Twitter. She calls in from time to time. Apparently, you just saw a tweet from her. She's like, why in the world is Hunter Biden the chief of staff? Morgan in Helena messaged us on the Montana Talks app and says, does Hunter have a security clearance?
Great question.
Isn't that a great question? Yeah. All right, let's sneak in a caller. Thad is calling in from the High Line. Thad, what did you have quick for us here? Sorry, we're short on time.
You know, the siphon up at BAB up there, Montana, is broken down, and it provides water hundreds of miles to that Milk River country. I tell you what, if Tim Sheehy wants a talking point, where's their lovely John Tester, plus the John? Where's he at the supporting everybody up on the High Line? This is going to be a major issue, and nobody's talking about it, especially John Tester. I mean, Governor Gianforte needs to get on this. Daines needs to get on this. Zinke needs to get on this. I mean, this is going to be an astronomical problem by not providing irrigation to the High Line that comes from BAB, and they're not seeing it being fixed at any time in the foreseeable future.
Oh, no. Yeah, at earliest.
This is detrimental to farming and ranching in Montana. And, you know, if John's such a supporter of those people up there, why isn't he addressing it?
Well, he will send out press releases, and he will make it look like he's doing everything. And there will be some phony folks in the media who will copy and paste whatever canned statement they get from John Tester to make it look like he's actually doing something. Governor Greg Gianforte is stepping in. He just ponied up the state funds in order to back up the Federal Bureau of Reclamation funds that the whole delegation is pressing for, frankly. The whole delegation is going to press for this, as they would. No matter who is sitting in that Senate seat, they are going to press for funding for the St. Mary's siphon. But what I was most miffed, and by the way, Governor Gianforte was in Malta yesterday doing a town hall meeting with folks in Malta on that very topic. So, yeah, they're going to do a long-term replacement. But, David, you know what miffed me the most was, well, why not also do a short-term solution? Well, there's money concerns is what I heard. What do you mean there's money concerns? They got money for illegal aliens. They got money for drag queen story hour in Ecuador, all this stuff. But they don't have money for, you know, both the temporary and the long term solution here.
No, I find that outrageous. But also, isn't it outrageous? OK, so John Tester's in power and has been in power for 20 years. And the Democrat Party has the White House. And they just passed a couple years ago blowout spending on infrastructure, and they said they were going to fix all of our infrastructure, and we just spent trillions and trillions of dollars on this infrastructure bill that was supposedly going to rebuild all of our infrastructure, and our infrastructure is crumbling, failing, falling apart.
Well, there's a racist bridge somewhere back east that needed to be fixed first.
Right, so, and there's EV charging stations.
Yes.
Hey, we spent like $3 billion and we built like three charging stations.
Yeah, that was the priority here for old flip-flop flat top while our infrastructure flops. I mean, I saw the pictures of these pipes. I mean, it was
obvious
like,
those should have been repaired or replaced a long time ago. What are
like
they doing?
It looked like a rusted out tailpipe.
Right.
For Pete's sake, on the pickup that John Tester doesn't want you to be able to drive anymore because of his climate nonsense. The Held v. Montana oral arguments, the state basically said, just give us your take because I've got more time to give my take. So your take on it.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous. I think the state is making the right argument that this is – they don't have standing. There's no way that this is going to make any kind of difference. This is a political question and a policy question for the legislature, on and on and on and on. I certainly hope that the Montana Supreme Court does the right thing and reverses this judgment and dismisses this case. But, you know, not a lot of – who knows what will happen.
So I love the way Mark Sturmitz, an attorney for the state – greenhouse gases, Montana's greenhouse gases amount to 0.0019% of the world's carbon annually. I mean, for Pete's sake, folks, like Montana, this isn't our fight. Take your fight to China.
So we're